Before we get started here, Charlie, you wanted to offer a prayer. Why don't you do that now?
Amen.
That was in Cherokee, obviously.
Right.
Can you summarize what you said so we understand?
I just ask the Heavenly Father to be with us for this interview. Thank the Lord for your being here to interview us, and that this interview may be useful to people in other parts of the country that will help them. And also just help us go through this interview, give us the right words to say, and that it may be something very effective to the public or to the people.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Charlie.
Well, don't. Well.
In the room here is your friend Christina.
Christina Keel.
She may guide us and keep us on the narrow path. Yeah. So if we hear a little prompting.
She's good at that too.
Yes. So my name is John Erling, and today's date is November 16th, 2022. Charlie, would you state your full name, please?
My name is Charlie Lee Soap.
What is your name in Cherokee?
Means last one walking.
Last one walking.
Yes, sir.
Where are we recording this interview?
In Cherokee County, Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and we're on the banks of the beautiful Illinois River.
I am thrilled to be here. This area is so beautiful. Your log house here, it's just gorgeous. It's one of the neatest settings I've had when I've been recording.
Yeah. I've always wanted a log house all my life. Ever since I was in high school, I always had a dream and had a log house, and it came about in my elder years.
Yeah, well, it's very, very nice. What we will do here is take from the manuscript Water as Medicine, The Lifetimes and Wisdom of Charlie Soap, a Modern Healer and Helper of Cherokee Communities, How Charlie Soap Spread the Cherokee Value of Collective Work for the Common Good. Now, this was written by Greg Shaw. Can you just give us a little bit about Greg, who he is?
Yeah, well, let me comment on a couple of things first, and that the title, Water as Medicine, it's just sort of something to go with at the moment for the book, but I don't think that's going to be the real title. And then also the description of Charlie Soap, there's going to be minor changes in that. But Greg Shaw was a person that I met many years ago when he came to work with the Cherokee Nation as a reporter. He took an interest in my work, working in the communities as a community organizer. He followed me to many, many communities, visiting Cherokee communities. I must say he's a very different type of person because he is brilliant, not knowing that he spoke five languages. I don't remember which ones he spoke, but I know for one he spoke Spanish and English, and then I think he spoke French. I'm not sure about that, but he took an interest in the language, and he would ask me how to say certain things. And I was very amazed how quickly he caught on, how he could say the Cherokee words correctly. I asked him one time, I said, how is it that you're able to catch on to the words? And he said, I speak five languages. And he said, it's very easy for me. So it made it more comfortable for me to teach him the words that he wanted to say. I think one of the first words he learned was, are you ready? I said, how do you say that? I said, Nojo. And he would come into the office, and he would say, Nojo, when we got ready to go, and we would go, how do you say this? How do you say that? And it was very valuable for him as we went into the Cherokee communities, because a lot of times the people who stand office when you have a stranger come in, especially in the rural full-blood communities, but when he would start talking Cherokee a little bit, and they would look at him surprisingly, but you could tell the people who liked it and was impressed that he was trying to learn Cherokee. So that kind of opened a door for him to make way into the Cherokee communities. And by the time we left, We could carry on a conversation pretty good, but I'd have to laugh at him sometimes because he was trying to say it was kind of funny, you know. So, but that's just natural for anyone trying to learn a different language.
Well, I appreciate he forwarded the manuscript, not the final one, to me, so that helped me as I researched for the interview. Let me say at this point, Wilma Mankiller, your wife, gave an interview to our Oral History Project August 13th of 2009, and then she died April 6th of 2010. This became the first interview we ever put on our website, and we felt really honored that she was the one for that, and we launched it at April 10th, 2010. So to bring this all together now, what's interesting, and I read from chapter one, Greg writes, in the months following Wilma's death, I received from Charlie two fax copies of Chief Mankiller's typewritten drafts of the chapter that follows. In 2021, I found another copy of her draft manuscript in a barn on Wilma's property at Mankiller Flats. With the help of others, I've carefully and sparingly edited her work and presented here at the opening chapter. Chief Mankiller, retelling of Charlie's early life and the Cherokee tribe's early story is for her to tell. I will begin to read, but then I'm going to have you take off. She wrote, a few days after the vernal equinox, when the day and night are of equal length and the sun crosses the celestial equator, signaling the beginning of spring, Florence Soap experienced the familiar pains of childbirth. Speaking softly in Cherokee, she told her husband, Watt, that it was time for him to get his mother, Charlie Soap. So you tell me now, Florence is your mother, Watt is your father. Tell me who's about to be born.
Yes, Florence, Forkiller, maiden name is Soap, my mother, and Watt. Real name is Walter, but they call him Watt. My dad, and then Molly Knight was my grandma, Molly Soap, after marrying my dad's brother. She delivered, I think, five of us at home. She was a small lady, kind of kept to herself a lot, not very conversational with the young kids at the time we were around her. When older people would come, she would open up and start talking in Cherokee. But her way of talking was more like teaching the people that were around her in a way that was educational to them about our people. One that was very interesting about her was she was a healer. She knew a lot about medicine. A lot of people would come to our house to be treated, to be doctored by her. She was someone that had much respect in our communities. But it was interesting that even to this day, I think about why would my grandma pick me to go with her to go look for medicine? We would go look for medicine. I felt uncomfortable being around her because I was just a young boy. Being around adults was something that we weren't used to. And so going with her, following her through the woods, through the fields and things, getting medicine, she knew which plants to do for which treatments for different types of illness. I would have to do most of the digging when we had to dig for the roots. Sometimes we took an axe with us and I would have to get the barks off the trees that were medicine trees. I think the hardest part was when we'd be out in the woods and have to go under brush piles to get certain medicine, I would have to crawl in under the brush pile to go get it. Sometimes it'd be in a rough terrain and maybe down a steep slope, I would be digging for roots side of a hill. At the time, I didn't realize the importance of it, having to learn to do all that, but then she would start telling about these different plants. This is for this. John Testa Yuskahena Wateka Kileyo Dutlahas. This medicine is for someone that has a fever. Or Helena Water Yik is a duly a goose kilo gig yotoski. Goose yajiesla lick. If someone got cut or it's bleeding a lot, this is the medicine for that. And then she would say, I said, I will teach you how to fix these medicine when we get home. I would think, I just want to go play. I don't really want to be taught. And then she would get me in the kitchen and she would teach me. But she did it in a real commanding, like it's almost like scolding way. You better listen to him because this is going to be important. And so I learned to pay attention to her, you know. And if I didn't pay attention to her, she'd go tell my dad or my mom, he's not listening. And they would have to intervene. They would have to come in and kind of put me back on track.
You think you were about 10 years old or so about that time?
Yes, I was about that age at the time, yeah. Right.
Let me establish the date you were born. What was your birth date?
March 25th, 1945.
1945. And so how old are you today?
Today I am 77.